Hey everyone, welcome to the show. Ever feel like you're juggling like a million expectations, career, family, cultural pressures, and you kind of lose sight of your own dreams somewhere? Well, that's the kind of deep dive we're doing today, exploring a contemporary novel, grappling with, those really real human experiences. Don't forget to hit like and subscribe so you don't miss future episodes.
What's so fascinating about this genre is how it uses fiction to hold up like a mirror to society. You get to step into the shoes of characters facing these dilemmas that you might recognize, like from your own life.
Exactly. Today, we're unpacking Dream Count by Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie. It's a really powerful novel that explores themes of ambition, love, cultural identity, and resilience in the face of societal pressures. You can find a link to the book down in the description.
It's a story that makes you think about like how much our backgrounds and upbringing can shape our perceptions of success and happiness. Really makes you think.
Okay, so let's dive right in. Adichie introduces us to four main characters. Nafissatou, a Guinean immigrant working as a hotel maid in the U.S. Zikora, a Nigerian lawyer navigating the complexities of motherhood and relationships. Omolagor, Zikora's cousin, who's an academic studying pornography. She's having a rough time adjusting to life in the U.S. And then there's Chia, a Nigerian writer facing creative blocks and relationship dilemmas. Whew, that's a lot.
Yeah, it is. But the way their lives like intersect is really intriguing. It highlights those shared experiences of immigrants, particularly women, while also delving into those, unique challenges each character faces.
For example, Omolagor struggles with depression after moving to the U.S. really stuck with me. It made me think about the emotional toll of cultural displacement and that pressure to adapt to these, like, new norms.
That's a really great point. And the way Adichie portrays Omolagor's online persona through her website For Men Only, where she doles out relationship advices. Well, it's humorous and thought-provoking at the same time. It's like she's using satire to expose those power dynamics between men and women. And you can't help but wonder if this is a form of resilience for her, a way to reclaim her agency in this new, unfamiliar environment.
Absolutely. It made me wonder if she's trying to use her intellect and wit to navigate the complexities of American dating culture, almost like she's conducting her own little social experiment. But let's shift gears for a second, talk about Nafissatou, who faces immense pressure from those Guinean cultural traditions, including the traumatic experience of female genital mutilation.
Adichie's unflinching portrayal of this practice is important because it sheds light on a reality that, like, so many women around the world still face. You can't help but feel outraged at the violation of Nafissatou's bodily autonomy. But at the same time, you see her incredible resilience in the face of such trauma.
This makes me think about how cultural relativism is often used to justify harmful practices. But Adichie doesn't shy away from exploring the lasting impact of these traditions on Nafissatou's life. The novel really challenges us to confront the complexities of cultural differences while also recognizing that universal right to bodily integrity.
What's also interesting is how Nafissatou's experience as a single mother in the U.S. intersects with her cultural background. She's juggling the expectations of being a good Guinean woman with the practical challenges of raising a child alone in a new country.
That's such a crucial point. It made me think about the invisible labor that so many immigrant women perform, often facing economic hardship and social isolation while trying to create a better life for their children. Adichie doesn't sugarcoat the difficulties, but she also shows Nafissatou's strength and determination, her unwavering love for her daughter, Amina.
You see that strength play out in different ways with Zikora, who's constantly trying to balance her ambitious legal career with the demands of motherhood. The novel really digs into the societal pressures on working mothers, something many women in our audience can probably relate to.
Totally. It's like Adichie is holding up a mirror to the impossible expectations we place on women, this idea that they should be able to have it all without acknowledging the systemic barriers they face. Zikora's experience with online dating apps and her quest for a meaningful relationship also speaks to the complexities of modern love.
And it's not just about finding love, it's also about navigating those different cultural expectations and finding a sense of belonging in a society that can often feel, isolating.
Exactly. You can't help but wonder if Adichie is suggesting that technology has changed the way we connect with each other, making it easier to find those surface-level connections, but harder to forge truly meaningful relationships.
That's such an insightful observation. It makes me think about how social media often presents this curated version of reality, making it difficult to discern authenticity and vulnerability.
Let's talk about Chia, the writer who seems to be constantly searching for her voice, both creatively and personally.
This resonated with me because I think a lot of people, especially creatives, struggle with finding their authentic voice in a world that's constantly trying to, like, define us.
It's like she's battling those internalized expectations of what a Black woman writer should be, and it's affecting her ability to write freely and honestly. I found her experiences with pitching her travel writing particularly thought-provoking because it touched on the limitations placed on Black creators, particularly women, and how their voices are often marginalized.
You can really see the impact of those limitations in her relationships as well.
Exactly. Chia seems to, like, bounce from one relationship to the next, trying to find someone who sees and appreciates her for who she truly is. It made me wonder if Adichie is exploring the idea of self-love as a prerequisite for healthy relationships, this idea that you have to be comfortable in your own skin before you can truly connect with someone else.
That's a really interesting point. It makes you think about how our own insecurities and self-doubt can, like, sabotage our relationships.
I'd love to hear your thoughts on how Chia's experiences with interracial relationships and microaggressions highlight the pervasive nature of racism, even in seemingly progressive spaces.
Absolutely. It's like Adichie is peeling back the layers of polite society to reveal the subtle yet insidious ways that racism continues to operate. These microaggressions, as they're called, can have this cumulative effect, chipping away at a person's sense of self-worth and belonging.
It's so important to acknowledge these experiences because they often go unaddressed or, like, dismissed. I think Adichie's trying to make us more aware of these subtle forms of prejudice so that we can start to, dismantle them.
And you see how these microaggressions contribute to Chia's feelings of insecurity and self-doubt, which in turn affect her relationships. It's a vicious cycle that can be difficult to break free from.
This brings us to a key theme in the novel, the search for love and belonging. It's fascinating to see how each character navigates this journey in their own unique way.
It's a reminder that the search for love and belonging is universal, but the path is rarely straightforward. It's filled with twists and turns and unexpected detours. And sometimes those detours lead us to unexpected places. Like, they force us to confront those uncomfortable truths about ourselves and the world around us. Nefissitu's experience with the legal system after she's sexually assaulted, well, that's a prime example of that.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking to see how the system fails her, like, at every turn. She bravely retorts the assault only to be met with this, like, skepticism and disbelief from the police and medical professionals. It's like she's being victimized all over again.
Adichie doesn't shy away from portraying those systemic biases that often work against survivors, especially women of color. You see how Nefissitu's immigration status and her position as a hotel maid make her even more, vulnerable in this situation.
It's like the power dynamics are stacked against her right from the start. And the fact that the charges against her attacker are eventually dropped, well, it's devastating. It just leaves you feeling angry and frustrated with a system that seems designed to protect the powerful at the expense of the vulnerable.
This part of the novel really made me think about how often sexual assault cases are dismissed or minimized and how difficult it can be for survivors to get, like, actual justice. It's a sobering reminder of the work that still needs to be done to create a system that truly supports and believes survivors.
Adichie's portrayal of this experience, it feels so raw and authentic. You can't help but wonder if she's drawing on, like, real-life accounts of injustice to highlight the systemic issues at play. It's a powerful indictment of a culture that often blames the victim rather than holding the perpetrator accountable.
Speaking of those cultural dynamics, the novel also touches on the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic, which serves as a backdrop for much of the story. It's interesting to see how Adichie weaves this, huge global event into the characters' personal lives, revealing how it just exacerbates existing anxieties and inequalities.
Yeah, you really get a sense of that collective unease and uncertainty that we all experienced during those early days of the pandemic, lockdowns, travel restrictions, the constant fear of infection. It's all there. But it's also fascinating to see how each character responds to the crisis in their own way, reflecting their individual personalities and coping mechanisms.
Nefissitu, for example, being an essential worker, she has no choice but to, like, continue working in a potentially dangerous environment. It highlights the disparities in how the pandemic impacted different segments of society, with those in low-wage jobs often bearing the brunt of the risks.
Yeah, it's a reminder of how privilege played a role in who could stay safe and who was forced to, put themselves in harm's way. And even the characters with more privilege, like Zecora and Chia, they face their own set of challenges during the pandemic. They grapple with isolation, loneliness, and the disruption of their routines. It's like Adichie is showing us how even those who seem to have it all can be so profoundly affected by a global crisis.
This brings to mind some psychological research that suggests prolonged periods of isolation can lead to increased anxiety, depression, and a sense of meaninglessness. It seems like Adichie is like intuitively tapping into those psychological effects, portraying the character's struggles with emotional well-being in a way that feels very relatable.
It definitely resonated with me, especially the way she captures the feeling of being like disconnected from the world. Even when you're surrounded by people, it's like the pandemic forced everyone to confront their own mortality. And that can be a, you know, a very unsettling experience.
Absolutely. And in the midst of all this, like uncertainty and upheaval, the characters turn to each other for support. The novel really emphasizes the importance of family and friendship as sources of strength and resilience.
Yeah. Zecora and Chia's friendship in particular stands out. They've known each other since, you know, childhood, and their bond is tested at times.
Mm-hmm.
But it always seems to, like, endure. It's a reminder that true friendship can withstand disagreements and life changes.
You see how they offer each other a safe space to be vulnerable, to share their fears and insecurities? It's like they provide this kind of emotional scaffolding for each other, which is so important, especially during times of crisis.
Their dynamic reminds me of some sociological research that shows how strong social connections can actually improve our physical and mental health. It's like having that built-in support system that can help us cope with stress and adversity more effectively. But it's not just about having friends. It's also about the, you know, the quality of those relationships.
That's a great point. Adichie doesn't shy away from portraying those, complexities of these relationships. We see how Zecora and Chia's personalities sometimes clash, how they have different perspectives on life, and how they sometimes make choices that, that the other doesn't agree with.
And yet their bond remains strong. It's like they've learned to accept each other's flaws and appreciate their, you know, differences. It's a very realistic portrayal of friendship. And it makes you appreciate the value of those long-standing relationships, the ones that have weathered life's storms.
Even the more complicated relationships in the novel, like the dynamic between Zecora and her cousin Amalagor, reveal the importance of those family ties.
It's clear that they love each other, but there's also a lot of tension and rivalry between them. It's like they're constantly trying to like one-up each other, whether it's through their careers, their relationships, or even their parenting styles.
You see how their shared history, both positive and negative, has shaped their present-day interactions? It's a fascinating exploration of how family dynamics can be both a source of support and, well, a source of conflict.
And it's interesting how Omologor's unconventional career path as an academic studying pornography often creates tension with Secor's more, you know, traditional views. It leads to some humorous moments.
Yeah.
But it also makes you think about how different generations approach, topics like sexuality and gender roles.
It's like Adichie is using those generational differences to spark a conversation about societal norms and how they're, like, constantly evolving. You see this play out in Secor's own life as well, as she navigates those complexities of modern dating and motherhood.
It's like she's caught between tradition and modernity, trying to figure out how to reconcile her own desires with the expectations of her family and culture. It's a struggle that I think a lot of people, especially those from immigrant backgrounds, can relate to.
And Nafissatou, even though she's physically separated from her family in Guinea, she finds a sense of community through her friendships with other immigrant women in the U.S. It highlights the importance of finding your tribe, your chosen family, especially when you're, you know, so far from home.
It's a reminder that family can be found in, like, the most unexpected places, and that shared experiences can create those really powerful bonds. Dream Count is a novel that really makes you think about the different ways we connect with each other, whether it's through family, friendship, or even those shared experiences of hardship.
And through those connections, we find the strength to face life's challenges, to navigate those complexities of identity and belonging, and ultimately to define our own versions of success and happiness.
It's like Adichie is saying that even in a world that can feel so, you know, increasingly fragmented, we're not alone in our struggles. There's a sense of shared humanity that shines through in these characters' journeys.
And it's through those shared struggles that we discover our own resilience, you know, our capacity to adapt and overcome adversity. Each character in Dream Count, well, they face their own unique set of challenges, but they all find ways to persevere, to find meaning and purpose, even in the face of hardship.
You see that resilience most powerfully in the Fissitu. Despite experiencing that trauma and injustice, she never gives up on her dream of creating a better life for herself and her daughter. It's like her love for Amina fuels her determination, giving her the strength to keep going even when the odds are stacked against her.
Her story reminds me of the concept of post-traumatic growth, which some psychologists believe is, like, totally possible. It's the idea that while trauma can be deeply damaging, it can also lead to profound personal growth and this newfound appreciation for life.
Yeah, it's like Nefissidu's spirit is forged in the fire of her experiences. She emerges from those trials, well, not unscathed, but with a much deeper understanding of her own strength and this, like, fierce determination to protect those she loves. You can't help but admire her resilience.
And Zecora. She embodies a different kind of resilience, one that's rooted in, like, her intellect and her unwavering ambition. She navigates the cutthroat world of corporate law with a confidence and tenacity that's, well, inspiring and intimidating at the same time. You get the sense that she's had to fight for every inch of her success, and that's what shaped her into, you know, a force to be reckoned with.
But it's interesting how, even with all her professional accomplishments, she still grapples with those feelings of inadequacy and self-doubt, especially when it comes to motherhood and relationships. Like, Adichie is showing us that resilience isn't about being, you know, invincible. It's about acknowledging our vulnerabilities while still finding the courage to keep going.
Exactly. It's about recognizing that, like, we're all works in progress, that we're constantly learning and growing, and that setbacks and failures are, you know, inevitable parts of the journey.
And then there's Amalagor, who embodies a more rebellious form of resilience. Her willingness to challenge those societal norms and explore unconventional subjects like pornography is both provocative and refreshing. It's like she's refusing to be put in a box, and she's using her intellect to deconstruct the very structures that try to, you know, define her.
Her website, For Men Only, is a brilliant example of that. It's subversive, satirical, and deeply insightful. She's using humor and irony to expose the absurdities of gender roles and power dynamics, and it's incredibly effective. You find yourself laughing along with her, but you're also forced to confront some, you know, uncomfortable truths about the way we view men and women in society.
It's like she's holding up this funhouse mirror to our cultural assumptions, distorting them just enough to make us question what we thought we knew.
And Shia, the writer, well, she demonstrates a quiet kind of resilience, one that's fueled by her passion for storytelling. Despite facing rejection and creative blocks, she never gives up on her dream of becoming a, you know, successful author. You see her grappling with that self-doubt, but you also see her unwavering determination to hone her craft and find her voice.
Her journey reminds me that resilience isn't always about those grand gestures or overcoming those, you know, major obstacles. Sometimes it's about that everyday persistence, that willingness to keep showing up, even when you, like, really feel like giving up. It's about trusting the process and believing in your own abilities, even when the world seems to tell you otherwise.
Adichie seems to be suggesting that true resilience is often found in those quiet moments of self-reflection and the willingness to keep learning and growing, even when it's, you know, uncomfortable. It's about embracing the messy, imperfect journey of becoming who we're meant to be.
And ultimately, I think that's what Dream Count is all about. Embracing our own unique journeys, defining success on our own terms, and finding the courage to live authentically, even when it means challenging those, you know, societal expectations.
It's a novel that celebrates individuality, resilience, and the power of human connection. It's a reminder that even in a world that can feel isolating and overwhelming, there's always hope, always the possibility of growth and transformation.
Well, that brings us to the end of our deep dive into Dream Count. We hope this conversation has, you know, sparked some new insights and inspired you to think more deeply about the themes we've explored. What resonated most with you? Which character's journey did you find most compelling? We'd love to hear your thoughts in the comments below. And if you enjoyed this deep dive, be sure to like this video and subscribe to our channel for more thought-provoking conversations about the books and ideas that shape our world. Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep dreaming.